This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I don't know, just to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm not sure when you listen to this podcast. I know that those of you listening on the radio, same time every day right here on the dial. But those listening on the podcast, stewardship.com, our research shows that you guys are listening around the clock. And man, if we can encourage you at 11 o'clock at night, 1 in the morning, whatever, y'all are on different schedules. We don't care when we're encouraging. We just want to add some value to your life. I hope everyone had a great Father's Day. I know that Father's Day looks different to all of us, and some of us have some good memories. Some have some memories that aren't so favorable, and you know, our current father situation might not be the greatest, but I hope that it was as good as it can be. And if you didn't catch Friday's episode, we had a Father's Day episode on Friday, and I hope that you heard it, because hopefully it's an encouragement to you. And if you haven't, be sure to check out our podcast and kind of go back to Father's Day. And I had some thoughts that I thought might encourage those of you going into Father's Day. And it's not too late to go check that out. So make sure you check that out. Chris Brown's True Stewardship on iTunes and also at stewardship.com. I know for Father's Day, for me personally, I know I enjoyed it. I know my kids were very, very kind. I woke up in the morning and I was actually a little bit puzzled by it. They were a little too kind. I knew that my wife was behind it. I know that they weren't that kind normally. And of course, Holly was very kind to me as well, but she always is. She's just so awesome. But she paid me to say that. Anyway, the call-in number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. You call in with your questions about life, your questions about money, and I'm not going to answer them the way I want to. I'm going to answer them what the Bible says, which lines up with the way I want to, but it's not my wisdom. It's the Bible's wisdom. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Ready to rock and roll and to take your calls and take your emails. So first on the line, it looks like we've got from New Orleans, we've got Will calling in. Will, how you doing?
I'm doing fine today. How about you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can we help you today?
I'm on baby step number two.
Okay.
My wife and I do have a few things that we need to pay off. Got about $11,500 in a savings account, and that's not including the $1,000 emergency fund. I work in sales, so my, you know, depending on commissions, my paycheck is kind of up or down. Well, I happen to be having an up when this go round. So here it is. I've got a student loan that's probably about, you know, $1,500 left on it. Well, with this paycheck, you know, with the commissions, I'll be able to knock it out this week. Like, and that is, that's tremendous. I'm over the moon about that. All right. Now, here's the next thing. Next on my little snowball is my car. I've got $11,800 left on my car. So I guess my question is this. At what point do I use my savings account just to knock that out, or should I wait?
Will, what do you do for a living?
I'm in sales.
Have you been doing that for a long time, that particular exact job?
I will have been doing this, let's see, September will make 2 years. Now, here's kind of my next fear on it as well, and you know, part of the reason why I'm wanting to capitalize on this momentum while we have it is that when September arrives, they send me to full commission. I don't get a base salary. I'm on total commission, which is, kind of a blessing and a curse at times.
Yeah. So it was a couple years that with this kind of start off process, trying to build up a base clientele. What did you make last year?
Let's see. Last year I made about a touch under 50. This year I'm poised to be at about 60.
Okay. And what's the projection for next year when you go full commission?
It's a little early to tell.
Okay. So this year, a typical month, would you say it's like $5,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm expecting my next paycheck to be approximately $3,000. So that's why I was thinking go ahead and pay off that student loan and, keep the snowball going.
The reason why I'm asking those questions is because this is kind of a slam dunk question if you had a stable income. But depending on sales and your commission things and how aggressive you get towards paying off these debts, I don't want you to pay off the debts and slam everything towards that. You have two or three dry months coming up, and then boom, you're just racking up some credit card debt after that because you have nothing to live on. So
correct.
When you're in sales and you get up and down fluctuating income, it's a little bit trickier. But based on what you've told me, and you can kind of pretty realistically plan on $50,000 pace for the remainder of the year, which tells me that you can at least bank on $3,500 to $4,000 a month. I think you can get really aggressive with this. Obviously, the student loan's gone by the end of the day. I mean, as soon as you get that check, it's over. Student loan is gone. It's out of your life.
Correct.
Now, the car note, what's the value of that car?
I would say it's probably worth about 11.
I was just making sure it wasn't crazy expensive. So that's what here's the deal. I'd keep $1,000 in there for the emergency fund. And you want to make sure that you're thinking through risk of the next couple months of what you're projected to make. And if you can keep your expenses below $3,000 for the next couple months, then you can just chunk all of that savings towards the debt. And you could be completely out of your car note by the end of next month. So the student loan's gone, and if those are your only two debts, you're completely out of debt in 2 months.
Okay.
You just got to ask yourself, there's some sacrifice that goes into that. You got to ask yourself, do I really want out of debt? And if I really want out of it, and if you're already doing the baby steps and you've heard the debt snowball teaching that's in Financial Peace University, those of you listening in, he's referring to Financial Peace University and the baby steps, baby step one, baby step two. Baby step one is saving $1,000 towards your emergency fund. Baby step two is to get out of debt and stay out of debt using the debt snowball. Those are the things that we teach. And if you're on the right track, you could do it. I mean, $1,500 is immediate.
Yeah,
I think you as you get into the summer and you get into the early fall, you put those projections versus last year, if there's normal seasonal trends, and then that'll tell you whether you write an $8,000 check towards your car, or it's a $6,000, or it's a $10,000 check towards your car. But either way, it needs to be a major chunk towards your car.
Okay.
All righty. We appreciate the call, Will.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Bye-bye.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com.
All right, folks. Well, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and we've got our next call on the line from Georgia. This is Whitney. Whitney, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm very, very good. How can I serve you?
Well, I just want to first off thank you and Dave for your counsel and the teachings that y'all provide. My husband and I went through FPU this year, and to be honest, we never really tithed before consistently. It was always kind of what was left over at the end of the month. That's what we gave, and y'all flipped this on our head, and we started tithing, and the blessings, just left and right have started happening, and you know, we really want to thank you for that. And one of the biggest and off the wall blessings was a job opportunity for my husband, and it's going to allow him to be at home, and the pay is going to be almost two times what we're used to.
Wow. So,
we don't know what to do with the money.
What a good problem to have.
Yes. And so, you know, we know that we want to do it the right way and make sure that we are providing and doing, you know, the way that God wants it. So just really looking for some advice on what to do. And we're in baby steps 4, 5, and 6 right now.
Okay.
And so what we kind of had this crazy idea of trying to figure out what we would have to save right now for our kids for the college, so that, you know, if things happen in the future or whatnot, we at least have saved that much right now.
Yeah.
Well, so is that a good idea? How do we figure that out?
Well, I mean, we don't want to do, you know, when we're thinking about finances or really anything in life, we don't want to make a decision in a vacuum. So is it good to fund your kids' college? I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, it'd be crazy for me to say that's not a good thing, but you've got to ask yourself, in the big scheme of things, if you were to pull up to 30,000 feet, what needs to happen first? And the reality is, the research shows that there's about 100% chance that you're going to retire. There's about a 50% chance that your children are going to graduate from college. So if the college doesn't work, you can't fund college, they can find other ways. If you can't fund retirement, there is no other way. You're going to be in big trouble. So you want to do the retirement first, which is baby step 4.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you a few questions. What's the income going to be?
Well, it's going to be variable. He's going to be in sales, but his base is going to be about 75.
Okay. And are you currently making 35 to 40? The old job?
No, that right now he's making about 60.
Okay.
But they're looking at 150 plus is what they're saying.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So we're going to live basically like we are now, and then everything else is going to be gravy.
That's good. That's what my first advice was going to be. Just until you've got that stable income and you're in a new rhythm, keep your lifestyle where it's at, and then increase slowly and incrementally. If you do it all at once, you're not going to appreciate all of those blessings. But if you do a little bit at a time, then you can just have this constant gratitude towards this new lifestyle. That's a lot of fun. You want to increase it in ratios.
Right.
So do you have any? You don't have any debt, you have a fully funded emergency fund.
Yes, we do.
That's huge. So have you started investing at all?
We have. We actually, I guess about a month or so ago, we got a Roth IRA set up for both of us, and then we have an actual mutual fund, and both of those have been funded for this year, so we are...
Good. Very good. So is there a 401k or anything offered through either one of your jobs?
I stay at home with my kids, and right now my husband does have one with his old job, but he will not have one with the new one, so that's kind of where we're a little confused, because we've already fully funded our Roth for
this
year.
Got it. So I would meet with one of our ELPs, one of our endorsed local providers, and sit down with them and talk about how you could roll that over, that old 401k into a traditional IRA or some other options. But you want to make sure that you want to think of three things. You want to think through, it's got to be a long-term instrument, something that's retirement-based, something that's diversified.
Sure.
You know, we want to go into mutual funds. We're not investing into one particular commodity or one particular stock. You want to make sure it's diversified into maybe 80 to 200 companies, like a mutual fund.
Okay.
And then you want to think through tax advantages, which would be the 401k, 403bs, 457s, Roths, those kind of things. So you're going to sit down with an ELP and think about what's the best way to roll this over, but you do want to get it out of that old company. And most people do a traditional IRA. So that's what you want to do with the investments, and you want to get that up to 15%. So however you got to do that.
Right.
And it looks like you have already taken care of about 10% of it. So you just got to get to that 15% mark. Then, you want to do – how old are your kids?
One's 4 and one's about almost 2.
Yeah, so I think an ESA would be great for you. Looking at that same ELP.
We have 529s right now, but I think we are looking into – switching it over to an ESA.
Yeah, well, there's advantages to both, and I can't break them all down right now on the radio, but there's pros and cons to both. They're both great instruments, a 529 plan or an ESA. My wife and I do the ESA. It's $2,000 a year. The research shows that about, you know, where your kids' ages, if you put that in there, $2,000 a year for 16 years, You're looking at $32,000 put in, and you're looking at tax-free pulling out about $100,000.
Okay.
So a very, very good investment. So that's what I would do in your baby step five. And then, of course, you go to baby step six after that. But sounds like you guys are killing it. I love it. I think that the biggest thing for you is God's obviously honored your decision to tithe. And he has blessed you for that,
mm-hmm.
And blessed you probably for a lot of other obedience in your life. But that new job, you have a opportunity.
Absolutely.
To when someone asks you, how did that come about? There's a worldly, like a very, very earthly answer of like, oh, you know, so-and-so called so-and-so. You've got a choice. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And so I just want to tell you before we get off the phone, to make sure that you go out of your way to shout his name from the mountaintops and give him the glory.
Absolutely.
Because that new job, don't mistake it. If those of you listening in, I don't care who called who. God is the one that orchestrated that, and let's give him the glory. But I'm real excited about you guys, and
thank you.
Very, very cool stuff, and we appreciate the call.
All right, thank you, Chris.
All right, bye-bye. All right, folks, got an email here from Andrew. It says, hey, Chris, my wife has a close relationship with her parents, and they talk with her about their preparations for the future on a regular basis. They recently mentioned that they are considering putting their house in our name in case they end up living in a nursing home. They are concerned about the nursing home trying to take their house if they run out of money. The home is paid for, and they would continue paying the insurance and pay for the property tax. Is this a good idea? What would be held liable for? What would we be held liable for if we were to go through this? A gift tax or anything similar? Thank you in advance for your wisdom that you can offer. Andrew, because of the gift tax and because of the stepped-up basis, I would not transfer the ownership of this home until death. And I just wouldn't do that. And I'm not saying that death is ever going to come soon or whatever, but if you do it before then, for instance, let's say that she spent, your parents spent $100,000 for the house, and now it's worth $300,000. So if she were to give that to you now, you would have to pay gains taxes on all that gain whenever you go to sell the property. So you'd be paying that. If let's say you sold it for $350 15 years from now, and she bought it for $100, you'd be paying capital gains on $250,000 in gain. But if you wait until after death, you use the basis on the value upon death. Big, big difference, and obviously no gift tax. So in the event that she runs out of money when it comes to this nursing home, then I would step in and help in another way. It's got to be more beneficial. And you know what? If you have to liquidate the house, then you have to liquidate the house. But I don't think they're going to take it from you unless you're super delinquent. But you're going to have to maybe liquidate the house and use those funds to pay for the remainder of her stay. But then at least you're in control. But that's what I would do. I would not transfer this ownership now. I would wait till later. Speaking of buying and selling homes, buying or selling a home is one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make in your life. If you've made one before, you know what I'm talking about. It's huge. It's a big, big decision. When making a decision this big, most people, they get help from a real estate broker. They get help from a real estate agent. But do you know where to find a top agent that you can trust to get the best deal on your home? And I'm going to tell you, it's our endorsed local providers. They are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher. They sell a minimum of 40 homes a year. You probably don't even know an agent that sells 40 homes a year. That's a big deal. RELP has closed 5 times more business than a typical real estate agent does in any year. And they put customer service before commission. So get connected with an endorsed real estate agent in your area by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP today.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
This next call comes in from Louisville, Kentucky. This is Kim. Kim, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Good. Well, I'm just calling just to get your advice on, paying off our mortgage sooner than later. We currently have a 30-year mortgage.
I'd go sooner.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to do. but I think what we're kind of struggling with is, budgeting that in. Right now it's a 30-year fix, and we have, money that we set aside towards it really goes towards, fixing our car, about $500 to $700 a month, just depending on the month. That's kind of what we can play with, extra money right now. And what I'm finding is that, we have the goal to pay off our mortgage soon, but there's always something that comes up. And if we have our emergency fund that's set to the side, but, we have to fix the car, or there's something that comes up with the house because we have an older home. So, and then just trying to find, extra money to put towards the mortgage to pay it off sooner is kind of where I'm struggling with a little bit. And I was wanting to get your advice on that.
Yeah. So the question is, do you switch to a 15-year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would the 15-year mortgage put you over the 25% of your take-home pay?
That's, I'm not positive about that, because right now we bring our net income after 401ks is like $5,600, and right now our mortgage is like $1,200 and some change.
Okay.
So I don't know what the 15-year would do to it. I haven't got that estimate.
Yeah, it probably would. I'm thinking 28-30% is what it'd do, but here's the deal. Like, to do that, to go from a 30-year to 15, there's going to be some costs. There's going to be costs associated with that. It's kind of like a... It's pretty much a refi is what you're doing. You're just restructuring your mortgage. So I don't like any time paying for discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So really what you'd be doing is paying for discipline, if discipline's the issue. Now, if things are really popping up in life, which is true, that's called life. That's why we have emergency funds. Things are going to pop up. If it's because other things keep popping up, which happens in life too, but most of the time it's because of our discipline or lack of, where we're like, oh, let's do this, or oh, let's do that, because you can. You've got this discretionary money, and you don't necessarily have to double pay on the house. But I wouldn't want you to have to pay for the discipline to stop doing that. I would just want you to stop doing that. If you put together a plan and say we're going to put $500 more towards the mortgage this month, that we'd actually do it. And if we said another month, said we're not going to do it this month, that we would actually do it. And then you just know you do your whole entire year on purpose. You know, these months we're going to, these months we're not, because we're going on a summer vacation. These months we are, because we know that we're going to have a lot of, we're going to be super laser focused. The kids are going to be back in school. We're going to be back at work, whatever it may be. I just want you to have clear expectations that the fact that you pay off a house in, like, 3 years is just very abnormal. I don't want you to feel this whole... There's a difference between ambition, which is a wonderful thing, and there's another whole idea of just lack of contentment because of too much ambition.
Yeah.
And you can't actually live a content life. And there's this balance. It's like this tension to be managed back and forth. And I just wouldn't want you to be so controlled by that, but you can't. The Bible also clearly talks about us enjoying the fruits of our labor. So my guess is that you're an overachiever. And you're like, oh my goodness, every spare dollar back towards the mortgage. And all it is another whole form of bondage. It's not debt for you anymore. It's an overachievement bondage. So I think you just gotta weigh all that. And I think as long as you have got this open dialogue with God and a great prayer life about it, and he's kind of helping you manage that tension, and you're using that wrestle like Jacob, and you're using that wrestle to get closer to God. I think that's the whole point. It's about the process. So I wouldn't, and that's a long way to answer your question. I wouldn't, but I would try to pay that thing off in 17 years or 10 years or whatever it is, but I wouldn't be so controlled by it that you feel like you're actually in bondage to it. So Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we try to, like, push it farther It says according to his riches, not according to all of our hard work. And I think there's a balance between that. And I think Holly and I are experiencing that very same thing right now. We're trying to buy a house with cash. And we have to slow ourselves down every 2 or 3 days because we've kind of been an overachiever on this and like trying to like live on like 30% of our income. And next thing I know, my car's falling apart. And I'm like, I make too much money for my car to be falling apart every day. This is silly. Like, and I just think it's a fine line. So anyway, hopefully that helps some people listening in and helps you as well. And okay. And it definitely is a wrestle. But remember, it's all about the process. And if we were designed to know everything, then we'd be God, which would be really dangerous.
Yes, it would.
We appreciate the call.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, don't forget, visit stewardship.com. Get connected with an endorsed real estate agent in your area. Again, stewardship.com. Click Find an ELP. Folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.